The message for today is being church, and just want to encourage every single one of you that God really wants you not just to be a human being, but he wants you to be a church being. The church is you. The church is us. And I've constantly got to remind myself and some other people that the church is not a building. The church is not just an organisation. The church is people. People who have a love for God and want to do what God wants them to do in life. So I just want to encourage, whether you're new here this morning or whether you've been here for 30 years, that, just pray that God speaks something of a word of encouragement and a reminder for you this morning. And, you know, I'm really privileged, and I just really bless you for your faithful giving to the church that releases Chris and myself to invest our lives into serving this church and leading this church, because church is just so worthwhile. There's nothing like church. And God designed, it's God's idea, and he planned for it to be the best possible form of community. Everybody's looking for community, but church has the potential of being real community. It also is God's plan A for the world to come to know him and to experience him. He is not going to do it without us. And so we have a vital role to play in our community. The beauty about church also, it's not for just a limited time. We will be together forever. Some of you may be disappointed with that, but largely speaking, when you see a perfect version of us together forever, it'll be fun. And I think for mine, I love Chris's catchphrase when we switch names to Overflow Church, you know, come thirsty, drink deeply, live brilliantly. And I think the church has the potential for everybody inside the church and for people outside the church to have a better life, to have a more brilliant life. And so this morning, I just want to go through a passage of scripture that talks so clearly about us being church. It's from probably my favourite book of the Bible, the book that has probably transformed my life more than any other. On a 3-hour plane trip from Perth to Adelaide, reading through this book changed my world. And I'm hoping that it has an impact on you today. What I'm going to do is invite Miriam up to read through the passage. And then I'm just going to break it down into 4 sections. And for each section, I've got a question. So I just thank you for participating in the service so far. So if you can continue in that spirit of just sharing information, because it's so beautiful the way that God speaks through each other. It's not just about God's word. It's not just about the person with the microphone. So much happens when we allow God to speak through each other. So if you can kind of gather in your groups of 3 or 4, that would be really helpful. I'll have 4 questions. And in fact, I'll give you those questions because some people like to think about things and have a bit more time than others. So the 4 questions. 1, who is a boss, a coach, or a teacher that you enjoyed working for, playing for, being taught by? Okay. Who is a boss, a coach, or a teacher that you really enjoyed interacting with? 2, in what simple ways could someone help a new person coming into the church? What's a simple way of helping them feel welcome, feeling a bit more of a part of the church? 3, how can we encourage each other, or how can you encourage another person to use their gifts? And the last one is, what's a simple way that you can show hospitality to someone? All right, so we'll work through those. You'll get an idea of how close you are off to heading off to morning tea by how quickly we get through those questions. But if we can just welcome Miriam, and she's going to read. So the best book, yep, let's welcome her. Yeah. So the letter is Paul's letter to the Romans, which is just such a fascinating and rich and dense and complex and beautiful verse. Anyone who hasn't read it, I just invite you to just to take 2 or 3 hours and just read through it. It takes a bit of chewing. It's not really, really simple, but God will speak to you through it. And so we're looking at a passage from Romans chapter 12. Thanks, Miriam.
Okay, it is a beautiful passage. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I like that. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Thank you.
Thank you. Even that chapter's got so much in it, and you could spend probably a whole year. So I just want to pull out four kind of key points for us to consider. The first one, I just want you to discuss, just in your groups, just who was a boss, a coach, or a teacher that you enjoyed working with, playing for, and why? So if you can just get 1 minute just to discuss that for us. Sorry to cut you off. We do have three other questions to get through, but it's just amazing how some people are just so easy to work for or to play for or to listen to. There's just something that motivates us by the way that we relate to the person who kind of serves us. And certainly for me, I'm very blessed here to be working for Chris. And I just want to just honour you, Chris. And the things that I just really, some of the things I appreciate about you is your contagious enthusiasm for church and the kingdom, the way that you listen to the leading of God and faithfully obey what you hear him ask you to do, the way that you have grown your capacity to lead, the complexity of a church organization, all the expectations, all the different people that are coming and going in different, all the churches and organizations that we interact with. Your servant-hearted leadership. I remember the first week coming in here and seeing this lady in probably in her early 40s, and she was shuffling chairs around and stacking up. I'm going, what is going on? Why is this person doing that? But it just spoke to me so loudly about her heart and about the role of leadership as servants. You're empowering, encouraging of just the people around you. You have so much faith and so much optimism about the people around you. And lastly, putting up with me for my terrible jokes and quirks and annoyances and just allowing me to be myself and grow. So, yeah, I just bless you. But it just makes a difference, doesn't it? Your motivation towards doing a task or something when you're doing it for someone who you love. And Romans starts off with one really key word, and that's therefore. And the reason, as they say, when you see therefore, you've got to ask what it's there for. Because it's, if you can get to that passage for me, it's like, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Like, that's a big ask. But in view of God's mercy is the 11 chapters before Romans 12. Unfortunately, we don't have time to read them. But again, I just really encourage you to read those 11 verses leading up to verse 12. Just pulled out half a dozen verses across those first 11 chapters. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace, the redemption that came by Jesus. We're saved by nothing we do, by his grace. We are blessed because the Lord will never count our sins against us. That's just unthinkable. And God demonstrates his love because Jesus died for us while we weren't in right relationship with God. He died for us. He died as us. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. We can't earn it. It can only be given as a, received as a gift. And it has to be grace. The whole message of the gospel is grace, because if it's based on works, we can take credit for it. But it's not. It's grace alone. So it's because of this grace, and again, Romans 1 to 11, that leads us into Romans 12. So if you can go to that next, that first passage again, thanks. So it's in view of God's mercy, offer ourselves wholeheartedly as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't be conformed to the pattern of the world. Allow God's word and God's spirit to transform the way we think. And then we can know what God's will for us personally and as a church. And so the vision is what we believe God's will is for us as a church. And so we just want to invite you to do God's will as we, and partner with us as we outwork the vision. And that's for anyone and every single person here. So that vision and mission again, the vision is to be a family of wholehearted people, becoming unmistakably like Jesus and going out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness every day wherever we are. And it's kind of, that's the outworking of our mission. We want to be transforming life through Jesus. So I just want to hear from Nikki this morning. She refuses to speak to a microphone, so we had to video her. No, we videoed her a while ago, and she agreed to play this. But just to hear her heart for the church, for the vision, and for the mission. Thanks.
Is that good enough? No. I came to Overflow because the youth were using the tennis courts as a games night on a Friday night, and I just thought that all the people that came to the tennis club were so friendly and united in their... It was like one big family that came to the tennis club, and I just felt that I just wanted to be part of that. Being part of a community that's moving forward and always looking forward rather than staying in one place. I think the leadership is great, and I love the way that they listen in to God and make sure that everybody is going to be on board with the vision and I just want to be part of that because it sounds exciting, and I'm always excited to see what God is going to do in the future. Yep. As a people who help, who deliberately go out and help, to see a need in the community and put their hand to that need and help in any way that they can, that it'll be a church where people find healing and be non-judgmental about whoever comes there. Yeah. part of the office team, the admin team, and I also run a Connect group. Part of the key leaders team. The thing that I love about being front and center is I see people come through the door who are in need, and the way that they their needs are met, and I just find that God works amazingly in these spaces, and people are totally transformed. I find that when I am with people, I just want to see the best of them. Whereas before coming to Overflow, it was all about me and how am I comfortable? It's about my needs and not about somebody else's needs. And I think that being transformed by Jesus makes you look at somebody else and go, you know, I want to meet you where you have a need, and if I can help in any way, then I can't talk about people being transformed because God is amazing. I think that's why I need to do it in a detached way. I do expect God to turn up.
How good. I get to enjoy a lot of beautiful people, and Nikki works in the office a couple of days a week and does heaps of other stuff outside of that, so we just bless you. Going to go to the next question. In what simple ways could someone help a new person feel part of church? So just in your group, while we're doing that, answering that question, we just want to hand out the vision summaries from last week. So if I'll have Nikki and a couple other people just handing those out. There's also a little response form that we'll talk about a bit later on. But if you weren't here last week or you wanted to get a vision summary or the response form, just put your hand up as people come around, okay? So if you can get back to your groups, in what simple ways could someone help a new person feel part of church? In just a couple of minutes, I'll just ask for some one-word answers of things that you discussed in your group of how we could help a new person feel part of church. But I just love in this next section when using the analogy of a human body, and when you look at the human body, it is just an amazing thing that's created in 9 months. And those with every time I see a newborn, it's like, how does that happen in 9 months? Just all the bits and pieces that it takes for a body to operate, and so many things that we don't even understand or see that just goes on automatically without our conscious thinking, let alone our brains and coordination and communication skills. The human body is just a miracle. And it's just such a beautiful analogy that Jesus uses and that Paul uses in this chapter to talk about us, because we're all different. There's not a copy of you anywhere in the room, and every one of us plays a unique and different part in the body. And it's so, everyone, without you, we're just not as active, we're not as fully operational as church without you. So it's just beautiful. And church isn't just Madawi, it's not just Overflow. We're part of a church of Jesus across the globe. and we all get to play parts as churches within the body. You know, it's just a complex and beautiful arrangement. So that passage, and I just won't read it all out again, but just the second half of the section about belonging. For each of us has one, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't have all the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Every single person belongs here. Whether this is your first time here, whether you've been here for ages, everyone belongs. And any new person coming, Lord, Jesus wants them to belong. Just want to invite someone who just has a real gifting and a passion to help people feel connected. So if I can invite Donna up, she was fairly new, I don't know, 18 months ago, a couple of years ago, just before around early COVID, seems like. And anyway, just to see you and hear you talk about the way you approach new people coming into our church. Can you tell us what motivates you to do that?
Ken and I have always done a lot of travelling, and we're back on track, thank goodness. But we, our pastor where we used to live used to say to us, well, we didn't see you in church. And I said, well, we went in your church, but we were always in church. Because when we're on holidays, we go and rock into a new church, and we used to come back with great ideas. Some churches we went into, we just stood at the side of the room, listened to the service, went home again. Other people, you know, grab you by the arm, make you a cup of tea, sit next to you, find your seat. And I think that was a learning thing. God was showing me something because now it's sort of become part of my personality that each day when I walk into church, I scan the room and I find someone I don't know or whose name I forgot or I haven't seen for a long time or who's something I know about them that, you know, they need a hug or congratulations. And I make a beeline for that person, single them out and get them to talk about themselves. Instead of me talking, which Ken thinks is unusual. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, and that making that person feel important and making them feel like we want them here and that they belong here and this is a safe place to come.
Thanks, Donna. What was just some of the key words in your conversation? What are the things that we can, simple things we can do to help people feel connected and belonging and welcome here?
Ask their name.
Ask their name. Names are really helpful. People love to hear their names or to be known by their name. What else did we talk about? Acknowledge them.
Actually go up to them.
Go up to them. Not just nod, but yep. Anything else we can do? What's the simple things we can do to help people feel that they belong?
Smiling.
Smiling, yeah, as though you enjoy the fact that they're here. So powerful, so simple. Anything else? Invite them for a cuppa, yeah. That can be over morning tea even. Just simply putting aside time for them. Yeah. Just want to acknowledge Alex as well. Earlier this year, about 3 weeks in a row, and I saw a new guy in church and was like, oh, I need to catch up with that person. And I was tied up talking to someone else and thinking, well, I don't want to head off without feeling connected. And then next minute, Alex is over there. He did it 3 weeks in a row, three people. So I just want to just honour you, Alex, just for a heart to be connecting with people as well. And many, many of us. I could have asked a bunch of people up here to talk about their heart for connecting people. Okay, question three. We're nearly there. We're on the downhill run. Question three, how could someone encourage other people to use their gifts? How could someone encourage another person to use their gifts? All right, just give you a minute to discuss that one. Thank you. Just wondering if I can get some short words, phrases. How can we encourage other people to use their gifts? Michelle? Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely that timing aspect of when you invite people to serve in different capacities. That's great. How else can we encourage people to use their gifts?
And just push them along and give them.
Yeah, that's great. I love pushing people along. It's one of my giftings. There is a verse that gives me legal access. It's saying, spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And it's true. We're acknowledging people's giftings, and sometimes they need a nudge. Some people are kind of like, they won't do it until they're asked. So it's just sometimes it's kind of like going, how would you like to have a crack at that? Because I remember when I was very young in my faith, people asked me to do stuff. It's like, no way, I can't do that. And goes, yep, you are, and you're going to do it. And it's like, all right. And it's amazing what happens when you put yourself in that position. But just, yeah, acknowledging people's gifts, helping them recognise them, helping them appreciate just how impacting their word of encouragement is, their, you know, prophetic word is, the way that they, you know, do morning tea, whatever they're doing, just encouraging them in that. I just love the illustration of an umbrella when talking about leadership, because, you know, we talk about submission is such a dirty word in our society sometimes when you think you've got to be forced under someone, but submission is really placing yourself under someone else's covering. And just in terms of the gift of leadership, you know, God wants us to place ourselves under his protection, under his provision. And so why wouldn't you do that? You know, because, you know, a little bit like we talked earlier, God is so good, you can trust him to place yourself under their leadership. And, you know, we get to place ourselves under the leadership of our board and under the leadership of Chris. And it's just being able to place ourselves under their leadership. They're serving us. We're not serving them in this example. And so just want to encourage you. I know that's talking about leadership, but that's the same thing. If someone's got a gift, they don't get to use it unless there's someone to receive it. So it's not being a selfish, oh, everybody serve me, but it's important to receive people's gifts. If someone's offering you an act of generosity, don't say no, because that's not releasing their gifts. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So just whatever the gift is, be mindful of both sharing that gift, but also being willing to receive gifts is a gift to them. Yeah. Speaking of gifts, one gift that I certainly am growing in or lacking is the gift of cleaning. And I just bless people who do have that gift. And I just want to recognise Lynn this morning. Lynn has been cleaning this church for the 9 years that I've been here. And it's not just that she does a good job, but it's her motivation for doing it. It just blows me away. So just wondering, Lynn, can you just share what's your heart? What do you enjoy about this church and why do you do the cleaning the way you do?
hi, everyone. mainly for God, the Lord Jesus, but also for the leadership, our elders and church family has been a big thing for me as far as cleaning. So, but ultimately it is God, because when I clean I feel his presence in here as well. So yeah, thank you.
It's just so beautiful. And it's that encouragement of Jesus. You know, he said he did not come to be served but to serve. That's just the heart of Jesus, for us to be serving. I don't know why we, you know, when people think about church services, is it I'm going to church to be served, or is it I'm going to church to serve? So I just want to, yeah, leave you to think about that one. Okay, last question. You're doing really well. Last question. In what simple ways could people show hospitality? In what simple ways could people show hospitality to new people or to people that have been in the church, particularly in church from? How can we show hospitality? Give you 1 minute. Thank you. simple ways of showing hospitality? Any words, phrases that came up in your conversation? Food. 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 Coffee. Wine. That's, yeah, and the heart of hospitality is so much just about connection and helping people feel comfortable and feeling loved. And I just love, I better use my props. We're just about to finish morning tea. I'm just wondering if anybody here, I love the way this jug just spits it out when you flip it up. Anybody feeling parched? Need a glass of water? Somebody going to let me use my gifts here? Bless you, Jesus' name. Don't want to discriminate against this side. Somebody parched. Bless you, Jesus' name. Okay, simple ways we can show hospitality. What, come on. Give them lollies. Just a greetings helps with hospitality, yep. Including them in something that you're doing.
Go out for Chinese.
Chinese food, whatever food you enjoy.
Have a good chat.
Have a good chat.
Come to SRR and support my Patty.
Hang around Patty. Food that
at SRR.
At SOR. She delivers the goods in more ways than one. April. Yeah, show someone around town. Beautiful. I just love that heart of hospitality. One person that epitomises it for me is with Overflow Care and Job Club is looking at starting up again in term three, but we get to help people that are out of work and just try to create an environment where people outside the community can feel welcome. And I just love this person's ability to create a hospitable environment. Christina? Let's invite you up. Whether it's Job Club, whether it's morning tea, whether it's markets, whether it's visiting the Jones House, you're going to get hospitable, whatever the word is.
Hi. I just love to bless people with something that they will enjoy, something that will make them feel happy, make them feel loved, and often that is food. And I personally like to bake, and if I can find out what somebody really loves, if I know they love lemon, I would love to make them a lemon cupcake or something like that. But so I really enjoy baking, and when I do it for somebody, I just get such joy inside me, and I know that the Lord says when you use your gifts, it will bless you, and just that feeling of I get extra love back when I give love out. But love through food, and I know Patty is exactly the same with her hospitality of feeding people. But it doesn't always have to be something that you bake yourself, but just knowing if somebody's coming to my house, like if Brad was coming, if I was going to visit Brad, I might go and buy a packet of those Dutch spiced biscuits because I know that he really loves those. So just knowing to have that particular food or that biscuit or sweet treat that somebody loves when you're going to see them just makes them feel that you care. And so if you don't have time to bake, just buy that something you know that they will love. And I know that sometimes I don't have time to bake, but I will do it anyway instead of sleeping. And Mark will say to me, why are you doing this so late at night? And I go, it's just really, not always 3 a.m. in the morning. It has been on a very rare occasion, but I always get re-energised by it. And so to me, it's really important to do that. So yeah, I just feel God's love when I do it.
Brilliant. And, you know, I could have invited Loretta, Patty, Vicky, Paulette, you know, there's just so many people that just use this gift really powerfully. And also amused when God puts a night person and gets them to marry a morning person. So makes for fun. So just in that, the closing passage, and this is one of the key priorities in our vision for this year. If you could bring up that Romans passage for us. Thanks, Aaron. What a rich passage. What is God saying to us about how we consider the people sitting around us today and the new people coming in? It's about loving, but not token loving. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Keep your spiritual fervour as you serve the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's practice who are in need. Practice hospitality. And there's that last verse, kind of to make a further point of my illustration. Jesus said, if anyone even gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciples, truly I tell you that person will certainly not lose their reward. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And I just want to remind you, encourage you, not just a human being, you're a church being. We're the church. God's gift is the church for you. You are God's gift to the church. Just want to see us steward ourselves well and steward each other and encourage each other and live out the things that God's called us to be as a church brilliantly. So bless you as you do that. I'll just invite Chris just to pray over us, but thanks for listening.
Thanks, Brad. I always love the way Brad goes out of the way to make it practical and, you know, that beautiful inclusion of so many people because we are the church. It'd be a bit sad to just have a message all by yourself about being the church, wouldn't it? I'm going to pray for us. If you would like an upgrade in being connected, in being who God wants you to be in this body, I'm just going to invite you to do the simple act of putting your hand on your heart. It's just a really simple act that says, yeah, Father, I want to be in more. I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be connected. I want to be a contributor. I want to be someone who gives and receives the gifts. I want to practice hospitality. I want to be doing it all because I've received so much grace and goodness from you. So, Heavenly Father, as we listen to you in this moment, as we invite you to connect us more deeply with each other, I'm asking that you would break off any lies that we believe that stop us from connecting, any lie that we don't matter or that we don't have anything to offer or that we don't belong, any offense, any judgment of others or disappointment that keeps us disconnected or causes us to hold others at a distance, any past experiences that have been hurtful. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to access all of those places in our hearts and minds. And across your church here at Overflow and across your wider church, Father, we invite you to build your church just as Jesus said he would do. And that we would be a people deeply connected so that when people look at us, they say, wow, see how these people love each other. That must be God. So would you help us know what that looks like for us personally? Right now, would you put thoughts into our hearts and minds about what deep connection looks like? And would you help us to be courageous and obedient enough to say yes and to follow through? Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.